today as we come to the table.
I'm called to serve you. You're called to serve me. And so we have to understand what a minister is, but it brings me to my second foundational point before we get into today's passage, and that is, who is a minister? It's not just the pastor, you're ministers. And this is not some little cliche that I'm saying to try to include the body and make some clever point. The Bible says that everyone who knows Jesus Christ is to be a minister of Christ. You have been ordained. You may not be called to be behind the pulpit sharing the Word of God, but you have been ordained to share the Word of God. You've been ordained to minister the Word of God and to minister love one to another. So every single one of you in here are ministers.
Did you know that you're called to ministry? When you think of someone who is called, what picture do you get? Maybe a pastor or a missionary. But Pastor Mark reminds us today that as a member of the body of Christ, each and every one of you is called to minister. You are called. And today you can come along with us and take a look at the ministry of Paul. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. So let's jump in together and learn what it means to be a minister of God, because the world is hurting right now. They need Jesus, and you may be the only one who is positioned to bring Jesus to them. It's a holy calling, and you're just the person for the job. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 20 as he begins his message, True Ministry.
Let's open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 20, guys, as we get into some really practical things today. I'm excited about these next 2 weeks because now we're getting into some really practical things. You know, as a teacher of the Word, I get excited when we get into a lot of the bullet points and the facts about the Bible. Some of you might say, yeah, that's the part that bores me. Well, hopefully it won't, because Paul's life was anything but boring and the Bible is anything but boring. The stories are great, but as a teacher, which is really what God has called me to do, I really get into the things where we can see actual things that the Holy Spirit is teaching us that we need to learn. And what we're going to be looking at today is what ministry is, what true ministry, and we're going to see that through the life of Paul. So let's pray. I'm going to ask God just to open His Word to us in this, and then we're going to jump into it and begin to learn what true ministry is as we see it exampled in Paul's life. So Father, I thank You, Lord, for giving us the example You gave us in Your Son, Jesus Christ. There's no greater example. That's it. But Lord, also You've given us an example in Paul. And Lord, as we look at Paul's life and we see this model now, as we're seeing him, Lord, on his third missionary journey and all that Paul was doing, I pray that You would teach us this morning, God, that You would show us what it means to truly minister and what it means to be a minister and who ministers really are. Not the example we see today oftentimes around us, whether it be on TV or just some of the modern day models we see, but Lord, what does Your Word say and what does Your Word show us as to what a true minister is? And so I pray as we get into the Word, God, You would show us true ministry and the heart of a true minister. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now today, as we get into this, and we're going to be actually in chapter 20, starting in verse 17. We're going to give a little intro before we jump into that. But as we see Paul give today what he believes to be his final goodbye speech to the Ephesians and the Ephesian church, the leadership there, we're going to see also very clearly Paul lay out, whether he knows it or not, probably didn't know it. I doubt Paul went there saying, I'm going to do a teaching with the Ephesian elders, and I'm going to teach them what true ministry is. I doubt he did that. But the Holy Spirit being in charge of Paul, and the Holy Spirit teaching his church, and knowing that we would be reading this 2,000 years later in Calvary, Knoxville, here in, this morning, God said, I'm going to show what a true minister is, and I'm going to lay it out. And we're going to see what true ministry is and why it's so important in the church today, because a lot of things that are called ministry today are really not true ministry, they're self-serving. And we have a blessing and a curse living in a nation that is so affluent. And what I mean by that is because things are easy in America, we've had a lot of time to think about how to do church. And it's not necessarily wrong. We need to do church right, so to speak, to minister to people. But you know, really doing church right is just loving the Lord, ministering to Him, and ministering to each other. And I think we've gotten so focused on doing church right by our methods, by our schemes, by whatever it might be, because everybody has, there's so many churches and so many happening things going on that I think we can get into a mode of competition. A mode of, well, they're doing it that way there. We need to do that here. Hey, we need to wow them on Sunday morning. You know what? God's word wows me. I don't know about you guys, but I'm constantly wowed by the word of God. And that's what excites me. And that's what brings me back. Not to mention I'm the pastor. But if I wasn't, I would still come because I love to hear the word of God. And it's not about self-service. It's not about what we want ministry to be. It's about what God has shown us that true ministry is. Now, a definition before we get going here. The word ministry comes with the meaning to serve or be a servant. So when we think of ministry, it's not so that we can be served. It's so that we can serve others. And that's why I said there's a lot of confusion today. Many believe that if they're a minister, end quote, everyone is supposed to serve them. But in reality, it is the minister who's supposed to be serving. Now, there's nothing wrong in the pastor or the minister. And I'm going to get beyond the word pastor in just a moment because every one of us in this room are ministers. Everybody in this room. I'm getting ahead of myself in my next foundational point we need to understand. But first of all, as ministers, we're to be servants. That's what the word means. And I wonder how many pastors would be happy if on their office door, you know, the church says, we'd love you to come and be our minister. And they show up and it says on the office door, servant. Because that's what it means. Some in today's environment, especially some of these guys you see on TV, they would probably be offended by that. No, I'm God's anointed. You serve me. Wrong. As ministers, we are called to serve each other. I'm called to serve you. You're called to serve me. And so we have to understand what a minister is. But it brings me to my second foundational point before we get into today's passage. And that is, who is a minister? It's not just the pastor. You're ministers. And this is not some little cliche that I'm saying to try to include the body and make some clever point. The Bible says that everyone who knows Jesus Christ is to be a minister of Christ. You have been ordained. You may not be called to be behind the pulpit sharing the word of God, but you have been ordained to share the word of God. You've been ordained to minister the word of God and to minister love one to another. So every single one of you in here are ministers. So when we look at what Paul says here in this passage today, and we're going to take a couple of weeks to get through this. We're going to go from here till the end of chapter 20. We're not going to do it all this week. It's going to be a two-week study in what true ministry is. But as we get into this, you're going to realize this applies to you as well. It's not just something that Paul did and something that the pastor is supposed to do. It's something that we are supposed to do as true ministers of the Lord. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see these specific traits and these specific characteristics that will be there and should be there if we're truly a minister for the Lord. And I'm going to say this now and reiterate it probably at the end. If you're not seeing these traits in your life, this is not to make you feel bad. The point of this is not to show us what failures we are in true ministry, because remember, I get it first and I see my failures before you guys get a chance to hear what I'm going to share on Sunday morning. That's not the point. The Lord knows that we're failures in certain areas. He knows that we can't always be a true minister at every moment. God recognizes that we're made of flesh. He knows our weaknesses and our frailties better than we oftentimes admit. But what it should do is show us a model of what God wants us to be as ministers, of what God wants us to do as ministers. We need to see that. We're going to see that in Paul today. You know, and again, as a minister of the Lord, we also need to exude a certain, you know, enthusiasm about the Lord. Now, sometimes I think maybe me talking too fast, that's not enthusiasm, that's personality. And even I started out this morning, I'm excited about what we have to share over the next 2 weeks, so I'm going a little fast and I can kind of feel, you know, slowing myself down a little bit here because I want you to be able to follow me in that excitement. But, you know, perspiration doesn't substitute for inspiration. And you can get as excited as you want. I can jump around and add some lights up here and make it seem like, boy, you know, as they say in the South, he's really bringing it this morning, right? And everybody leave here excited because something emotional happened, but you not get any substance and nobody grows. You ever been in that kind of situation? At the moment, you think that was the best service in the world. It was so exciting and everybody was, and then you leave and you go, so now that my emotions have calmed down, what did I take home? Really very little of anything. My desire is that we take something home and that we have some substance to take with us, and that's another attribute of true ministry. But we need to exude that and not kind of be these doldrum type, always down. And, you know, there was a time in church history where it was actually believed that the more somber you were, the more holy. Be quiet. Don't say much. You know, shift your feet quietly and let there only be a whisper when you're in the presence. You know, there's nothing wrong in that if you're getting quiet before the Lord, but that's not holiness. That's not true righteousness. And sometimes I think as believers, you know, we can oftentimes, because of the way we are, actually kind of exude a prudishness. You know, we need to be excited about the Lord, happy about the things of God. You know, not like the woman in line who saw the guy in front of her. I read about this week, and she said, "Oh, excuse me, are you a minister of the Lord?" I don't know why she asked that, but she said, "Excuse me, are you a minister of the Lord?" And he said, "No, it's just I've been sick the last 3 weeks." Because a lot of people look that way. They feel like in order to be holy, they have to have kind of this real somber. Listen, holiness just means you're being different from the world and you're walking with God. You can be extremely happy and excited and be holy. And that's what Paul was like, and that's what we need to be like. Now, where we left off last week, Paul was on his third missionary journey. He had ministered at Troas, if you remember, where Eutychus fell from the window. Again, Paul going all through the night, this kid falling asleep and dying, being resurrected. Saw that miracle and all that happened there. Now we see him traveling on to Miletus on his way back to Jerusalem, trying to make it to Jerusalem by the day of Pentecost, knowing the Jews would be gathered there from all over the world, and Paul wanting to reach the Jews. That was his heart, although he was called to the Gentiles. He wanted to reach the Jews as well, him being a Jew. He had a heart for them. And rather than get sidetracked by going into Ephesus, he sent to Ephesus and called the Ephesian leadership, the elders of the church, to come out to him at Miletus. And that's where we take up in chapter 20 of Acts, verse 17. And notice it says, "From Miletus, he," that is Paul, "sent to the Ephesians," or rather to Ephesus, "and called for the elders of the church." So rather again than take the time to travel in, Paul calls them there. And again, this probably had to do with timing for the Feast of Pentecost. "And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.'" Now, these first few verses are chocked full of what true ministry is. And we're going to look at them individually as we go down this list. Notice before Paul goes into how he loved them and gives them his final words, he reminds them of his testimony among them. And notice he said, first of all, that he lived among them in a certain way from the first day he arrived. I have that underlined. The very first day he began his ministry, the very first day he rode into town, from the very beginning, this is what Paul did. And herein lies the first principle that we come to today when it comes to being a true minister and ministering to those around us. And if you're a note taker, this is number one. And that is, from day one, we need to realize that we are being watched as representatives of the Lord, and it makes an impression. Now, I have made a lot of mistakes as a young pastor, and I've trusted in God to override some of those. Someone will say something and I would react, or I would make some comment or something. And it can be the kind of thing that when you're in a position where you're speaking for a group of people or a church or a fellowship, people will listen to it more. And if you say something that maybe you didn't think through or pray through, then it can kind of already lay, you know, the groundwork for what it is that people view you as. Who is Calvary Chapel? What is Mark Kirk like? You know, what are you like? People are going to make a judgment on that based on how you conduct yourself. And they're going to do this oftentimes, and more often than not, from the very first time you meet them. Remember that. That means that whether they are kind or not, you need to be. Whether they are engaged or not, you need to be. You only have one opportunity to make a first impression. And if you make a bad one, you may be able to reverse that over a long period of time, but it can take years to reverse that picture that people have formed of you in their heart. So first impression is very important. We need to realize the moment we meet someone new, from that moment we're building a testimony among them. And Paul had built a testimony among the people in Ephesus, but Paul is saying, I started day one. It wasn't fake. It wasn't contrived. You know, it wasn't like, okay, let's get a PR committee or team to come together. Let's pay them some money and say, how do we as Calvary Chapel look good to Knoxville? You guys come in as consultants and you tell us how we can look good to Knoxville. That's nonsense. You know how we can look good to Knoxville? Love them. Love Knoxville. Love each other. And it's got to be real. If it's just contrived because you want to put some image across as to what your church is, people are going to see right through that. We've got to be real. We've got to be genuine. Paul was real. Paul was genuine. And Paul, from the very first moment he ran into them, he realized that he was building a testimony, whether he realized it cognitively or not, he was. And he makes mention of that. You guys have known me from the very beginning, how I lived in front of you, and that the impact that we have on people when we first meet them is the ability we're going to have to reach them later on. How we're going to be able to minister to them. If they don't think we're serious about the things of the Lord, or that we don't have a certain attitude or reputation with them, then they're not going to listen to us, and everything that follows that is useless. On our bike trip last week, Todd and I, we stopped in Cherokee, North Carolina before we finished that last leg of it, and I shared a little bit about it with you guys last week, but this was interesting to me because it was very applicable to this right here. We walked into this shop there in Cherokee, North Carolina, and we were going to go in there and just ask where a good restaurant was. It was a good time for lunch, and we were going to kind of mill around while we were there, kind of an interesting, you know, shop, one of these Christmas shops, you know, all year long type thing. And we went in there and we asked him, hey, where's a great place to eat? And the girl's very nice. It's right across the street there, and there's a great place called, I forget the name of it. And it was a nice place to eat, so it was good. But we were there and said, hey, let's look around for a minute. This place is kind of cool. So we started walking around, looking around, and I realized that every corner we went to in that store, this lady was following us. Even we went upstairs, she followed us right upstairs into the back room. There was nobody around but us and her. She was following us everywhere. And it hit me. This was day four days. I get off this bike, I'm wearing a leather jacket, the boots on, and I hadn't shaved in 4 days. She's probably thinking, these guys are going to come in here and turn something over. They're going to rip something off. She followed us in every corner. She probably would have died if I said I was a pastor, but that wouldn't have mattered either way. But it was kind of funny to me because, again, I had told the girls, you know, I thought about it. I always tell the girls, I say, you know, riding a Harley-Davidson makes your beard grow. And so I have to stop every 2 hours and shave, and I keep going. And the guys that you see that have the big beards, they just don't stop and shave. I do, and that's how that works. So I joke them that way. I came home after 4 days, and the girls saw me. They said, oh, one of my girls said, Dad, a Harley really does make your beard grow, you know? And I did that on purpose, kind of let it grow and kind of freak them out because my beard grows pretty quick. So I'm in there, and I realize they're following us around. Why? The first impression I made on that young lady in that store in Cherokee, North Carolina was, watch this guy. And I realized, even then, I realized how important appearance can be. Isn't it amazing? Nothing but appearance gave her an opinion that I better follow these two guys everywhere they go in the store. And she did. Now, that wasn't the kind of impression you couldn't have reversed. If I'd have spent time talking to her and we'd have gotten, you could have reversed that. We could have explained our situation. And while we were there, matter of fact, I looked so bad when I got in on day four. We got in late. It was like a long day. Got to the house like that. I shared that with you guys. And the guys were out doing something and the house was locked and I hadn't taken my key with me. So I'm already exhausted. I can't get in the house. I said, I'm just going to go to Starbucks and get me a coffee. I walked in Starbucks and they said, whoa, where have you been, man? What happened to you? That's literally what he said. You know, what happened to you? Kind of, what's going on? I said, well, I've been on a 4-day ride. It's been a long day. I just got home. Couldn't get in my house, so I came for a coffee. He said, it's on us, man. They gave me a free coffee. If I'd have known that, I'd have gone, venti. You know, anyway. But they gave me a free coffee. So your appearance makes a big difference in how people view you. Now, I'm not going to go around saying that we need to all dress. I'm not going to give some kind of dress code as a Christian. We're not going to get into all that kind of stuff. You're free in Christ. It doesn't matter whether you have shorts on or whatever. But remember, when you're going in the name of the Lord, the way you look, you know, I mean, people judge you by that. Paul here said, from day one when I went to be with you guys, from the very beginning, I lived among you in a certain way. You saw me from day one as someone who didn't come to be served. I didn't come here talking about my ministry and how you guys needed to get me a place to stay, and I wanted to take up a love offering so that I could minister to you. I came and I got a job. And we're going to see later next week, Paul not only got a job, he worked and he paid for other people in Ephesus to be able to have things. Wow. What kind of missionary would that be today? I'm not saying it's wrong for a missionary to ask for funding and support. I think God's called us to do that. We're in a very affluent country. We need to do that. We need to support each other. But our attitude needs to be such that I'm not here just to get money from you guys. I'm here to serve you. And I'll trust in God to take care of the money. And if I go on the mission field, I'm going to trust in God to give me what I need when I'm there. And if I can serve while I'm there and maybe work for myself and help pay somebody else's way, I'll do that. This was Paul. This was radical. But this is true ministry in the Lord. Well, the second thing we notice here that we have to do in order to be a good minister of the Lord is notice he says, also I served you with all humility. It would have been easy for Paul to say, you know, hey, how many of you guys have been beaten 5 times with stripes and been shipwrecked in the ocean numerous times and had everybody reject you and have God visit you? I have visions of the Lord. Jesus came to me in visions. I have authority here. Therefore, listen to what I have to say and do it. Paul didn't do that, did he? He said, I come to you as one of just one of you, weak. He said, but I glory in my weakness because you know what? In my weakness, I'm strong. Paul wasn't afraid to show his failures. And I'm not afraid for you guys to see my failures. Now, I think we don't need to reveal everything. I think there's some things that are inappropriate. But I think sharing our failures and sharing our weaknesses, especially from the pastor, is healthy for the body of Christ, because a lot of people picture the pastor as he kind of floats from his office up to the pulpit, you know. Now, those of you that know me, that never even crosses your mind. You know that probably somebody had to drag me up there, you know, as I'm all, you know, whatever. But some people really view, you know, they view certain people as, you know, they're the ones that have all the, you know, glory or whatever. I was reading this week about Billy Graham and this other man that was speaking at this evangelistic event, and Billy Graham showed up a day early, and he put on some glasses and a hat so nobody would recognize him and sat right in the crowd. Nobody knew who he was. And the other guy was giving the evangelistic message, a friend of Billy Graham's, and said he gave an opportunity for people to come forward. And as people began to come forward, Billy Graham said, he leaned forward to a guy next to him and said, wouldn't you like to go forward and give your life to Christ? What's keeping you? He started evangelizing from right there, just talking. Wouldn't you? Why don't you go up there and give your life to Christ? And he said, no. He said, why not? He said, because I'm going to do that tomorrow night when the big guy gets here. And he just kind of snickered under his breath and didn't say anything. And he said he realized at that point, people have an image of certain people as being greater than others. That's not at all what the Bible teaches. And the ones that God truly uses in great ways are the ones that realize they're just a person. It's still said that you can walk right up to Billy Graham's door in North Carolina and knock, and they'll answer and let you in. You know, we think about certain people as, oh, you can't get to that guy. You can't speak to that. We're just people. You guys are just people. No matter how God uses you, you're just people. You know, I'm just people. He's just people. I know that's bad English, but bear with me. The bottom line is we need to be reachable. We need to be humble. Pride and arrogance about who we are and some kind of title we have is destructive, and God will set us on a shelf. He won't use us. That's why the Bible says not to let someone who's too young in the Lord be raised up too soon. And I've seen titles ruin people. I've seen people in ministry at Calvary Chapel over the years. At the first Calvary Chapel I was at before I was a pastor here, and at this one. And they were serving, and they had a great attitude, and they had a great heart, and they were sweet, and somebody gave them a title. You're now, and there's the title, fill in the blank. Everything changed. I am so-and-so. What? You're just still Joe, or whatever the case might be. It ruins people sometimes. Don't let titles go to your head. I'm not big about titles, you know. I mean, you know, people ask me, what do you want to be called? I said, just Mark. Mark's fine for me. Now, sometimes I'll say Pastor Mark because it needs to be said to make the point, or to, you know, to give people direction, or somebody will say Pastor Mark, and I don't have a big fit about that. That's not something I want to overemphasize. But the point is, I'm just Mark, and you're just who you are. We need to love each other and serve each other and minister. We're just called to different things. Now, I have a greater accountability in my testimony before you because God has called me to be your pastor. But you should be just as diligent to live for the Lord in your life publicly and privately as anyone. And Paul lived in humility, and so he didn't care about titles. It wasn't Reverend Paul or the Most Holy Paul or the whatever Paul. It was just Paul. Paul the, you know, he would say Paul the Apostle, and again, that would be an appropriate time to use it because Paul needed to let people know God has called me for this position because he was ministering the Word of God. And in that day, there were a lot of false gods going around, and Paul would have needed to do that. So there is a time that a title does need to be used if it's for ministry purposes, but it should never be for pride.
The New Testament book of Acts may sound like a simple Sunday school lesson, but it's so much deeper and richer than that. This book consists of remarkable men and women who risked and even lost their lives for the sake of Christ and His salvation. They got it. They came to a realization that nothing in this life would offer them something better than what Jesus had freely given them. They couldn't help but proclaim what He'd done for anyone who would hear. They even counted it joy when they were persecuted for the sake of Christ. What an example for us to look at, and to be in awe that we can be warriors for Christ as well, in our own sphere of influence. If what you're doing is for Christ and helping the gospel progress, then it's worth it, no matter the cost or loss of earthly things. If some of this sounds unappealing to you, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray about what's weighing on you related to what you've heard. You're welcome to give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come and join us at Calvary Knoxville. Go to thewaymedia.net and find the link at the bottom of the homepage to get service times and directions. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series, you'll find them in the Come to the Table section on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Pastor Mark has more to share next time, so join us again as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.